Hello and welcome to our weekly podcast, Parking the Bus. I'm Palash. I have my friend Sukcharan with me.
Hey guys.
So, a lot of football happened this week, and with Giroud's four goals against mighty Sevilla, let's park the bus. Let's start with Serie A itself, our favorite league.
All right.
Inter Milan, first of all, I would like to mention a special match that was Napoli against Roma.
Yes.
that match, I meant to lose from Napoli to Napoli. I saw that match because I wanted to see how Napoli actually gives farewell to their legend of all time, greatest player of all time.
I get it.
So I saw that match. Napoli was wearing specific Argentina's kit. The kit which Maradona used to wear. And everyone in the stadium was like full emotional. Especially Napoli players.
And, talking about Maradona, I do not know which team exactly. But a team, when they scored the goal, they went to the sidelines and Maradona's daughter was sitting and watching the match. And they literally bowed down to her. All the 10 people on the field. So it was like the daughter started crying so badly. It was went viral. It was very emotional.
I guess it was young boys.
I'm not very sure because it was an Argentinian league, I think. And I'm not very sure. I think young boys was it. It was. But it was really like emotional to see the daughter crying and, sitting and watching the match because for football, it was a great loss. But everyone forgot about how great a loss it would be for the family.
It was Boca Juniors, I guess.
Boca Juniors, yes. So
They treated him like God. And I actually saw this match and it was a very nice match. Like, after not too long, but Serie A is one like I only used to see AC Milan, Inter Milan, or Juventus. And after so much time, I saw Napoli, and they look good.
Yeah, I mean the table is growing really nice this time, and even the Serie A table, Napoli and Juventus have the same number of points.
Yeah.
So, it's going for a very close there. And also, AC Milan is 6 points. 6 points above Juventus. So, I don't know what is going to happen this time in Serie A.
Yeah. AC Milan did what AC Milan does.
Yeah. Zlatan.
No, this time, for me, it wasn't Zlatan.
Yeah, I mean, but even though he was not carrying the team, the mentality he provides to the players, the team is actually really important, I feel. And I feel that, he's actually been a part of the team as much as, like, so much that we do not know how much he's been a part of. Because I've seen a lot of memes where AC Milan players post Zlatan as their, knight in shining armor. So... So it's
that I second that.
Yeah. So
apart from that, Juventus drew against Benevento. Benevento. I don't know how to spell them.
I wanted to ask you a question about Juventus here. Do you really think that Pirlo's football works only with Ronaldo? Because 3 matches Ronaldo has been missing, 3 matches draw for Juventus.
See, when Pirlo came in. Pirlo's tactics no one knew. Like when Mourinho walked into Tottenham, I'll tell you with that example, we knew what kind of football we are going to see. But none of the Juventus fans expected what kind of football they are going to see.
Yes.
In first few matches, they played really open and like full attacking football. Which was due to some injuries, which was later cancelled out. And now I'm not understanding what kind of football actually Pirlo wants to play. He has given a rebirth to Morata. That's for sure.
Yeah, that I don't. I also, I think, I agree with that here, because Morata has been banging in Serie A.
And he has also kind of made Ramsey also rebirth to Ramsey.
Yeah.
Apart from that, I don't think anyone, particularly in Juventus' team, has benefited a lot from this.
I get it.
I mean, he wants to play a young team. He wants to them to win trophies. He wants, and he might do also. But Juventus' ultimate aim is to win Champions League. And with Pirlo in early to say. I mean, not early, 6 months, but I don't see that happening.
Yeah, and I also do not think, you know. I cannot bravely say that this Juventus is deadly. This Juventus can win the league. I mean, forget Champions League. I think they have to focus on the Scudetto first, because that is itself going to be a dog, horse race this season.
Yeah, like if I tell you something, like if you ask me, how champions play, you should just see how Bayern Munich played last season.
Ah, yes.
How Liverpool played last to last season, or like how they used to play.
Yes.
Liverpool had 97 points in their bag. Still, they lost the title. But they look like a team. Like at the end of the competition, everyone was like, wow, Liverpool.
Yes.
And this is not the Juventus which we are used to see. Like, okay, people say, okay, till December, oh, everything is heated up. Then in January, some injuries happen to some teams. And then the normal teams, like in Premier League also, Man City, Liverpool, Serie A, Juventus. These teams will rise. Definitely these teams will rise.
Yeah.
But at this moment, they're not playing well.
So, I mean, I think we both wouldn't have expected this from Serie A, to be honest. I think we always expect a one-legged race. And Juventus just bouncing forward and just winning. And then probably Inter Milan giving them a close competition, but this season, my God.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Let's see. Inter Milan also, we expected Inter Milan to give competition, and in place of Inter Milan, our favorite AC Milan gave. Actually, I have a soft corner for AC Milan, but yeah, it's good to see the sleeping giants coming back.
Exactly.
Apart from that, let's now park the bus to La Liga, where Real Madrid lost to Alaves 2-1. Now, I'm pretty sure you didn't see this match, or you?
I did not see the match.
Yeah, so I'll tell you what happened in this match. Like, every Real Madrid fan after this match was like, "Oh, we used to be Vardred, right? Vardred." And actually, a 50-50 decision. It was a 50-50 decision for me, which went against Real Madrid this time.
Oh, okay.
So, because of that, Alaves won 2-1. And Real Madrid dominated the ball. Real Madrid dominated the game, no doubt. But Alaves took their chances. And my only concern from this match is, this is not the Real Madrid which we know.
Yeah, and I think from what you said right now, Real Madrid has always been a team which never actually dominates the ball, because they do not play the possession football. They play the counter-attacking football. Their counter-attack used to be deadly with the speed they have in their team. And when you said right now that they, dominated the ball, I was like, oh, okay. Zidane changed his tactics. Why did he have to change his tactics? Because the counter-attacking football, I think, won him the La Liga title last season. So, there's no reason why a person should change his tactics against a team like this. But, they have made their decisions, because they are obviously more experienced than we are, because we are just commenting on them without having any experience. But I think Zidane should actually find his play as soon as possible in Real Madrid. And, injuries are not helping him, with Hazard injured almost all the time. So,
yeah. I will say play plus players. Like, Hazard is looking okayish, but it's not the Hazard which we saw.
Exactly. And Premier League fans know what Hazard is capable of. He has run riot on so much of teams. And when we like he when we know what he's capable of, I think that is what everyone expects Real Madrid what he has to be in Real Madrid too. So
in 1 month Hazard is going to be 30.
Wow.
Real Madrid paid 100 million.
143.
I'm not sure. I just heard 100. Okay. Yeah. It might be 143.
Yes.
So Real Madrid paid 143 million to a guy who has not even proved out to be a 43 million player.
Yes. Yes. Totally. I totally agree.
And we don't know what comes next in the next two years. Like, what if Zidane gets sacked?
I mean, that I don't know if there's a possibility of that because, you know,
and a new manager comes in and he does not like Hazard at all. And he says, Hazard, you have no place in my team. You can go somewhere else.
I mean, because I think
next year they are planning on buying players like Mbappe, Haaland.
Yeah, I mean, it is Real Madrid, however a team it is always a dream for players to go and play there. So, I don't know. I think if whatever you are saying happens hypothetically, then I feel Chelsea should always open their, you know, gates for Hazard because that's how a player he has been for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would take 32-33 Hazard. I wouldn't mind 33-34 Hazard because I know he's capable of some things in some days. So I think that is what that is why he's played the big bucks.
Yeah, let's see. Like his redemption has to be done. Apart from that, Barcelona won 4-0 in a very, very, very comfortable
way. Exactly, and Messi played. Yeah, so Messi played.
And after so much time, I saw Barcelona game. I saw this game also. Mm. Like I was kind of free this weekend, so I saw this game also.
Yeah.
So I remember in this game also. The way the flow with what Barcelona were playing was next level.
Yeah, and I feel Barcelona fans. I actually watched not the entire game, but I did watch parts of the game. I was switching channels, and I was switching channels, and this came along in the TV. So I decided to watch it, not live though, but the entire highlights in another day, basically. Mm-hmm. And it was actually surprising that, you know, Barcelona is capable of this level of football, but they're not actually playing it every match.
I'll say it depends on a lot on Philippe Coutinho and Antoine Griezmann. Like, uh-huh. Antoine Griezmann, it was the best Antoine Griezmann's performance for Barcelona ever, for me.
Mm.
And these two players are kind of, at the moment, are like, on-off players, even Ousmane Dembele.
Mm.
Like, some days they can be world-class, some days they can be a player of a regular, even championship team, no disrespect to championship teams, but they can be of championship qualities. Mm.
I get it, and I feel, Ronald Koeman has made a good decision of playing Griezmann rather than, you know, playing him as a striker for a long amount of time and bringing in Carlos, you know, bringing in Martin Brathwaite, I'm sorry. Bringing in Martin Brathwaite in to, you know, provide the striking power Barcelona needs. So I think slowly things are looking up for Barcelona, hopefully.
Let's just hope Barcelona does get back to Barcelona. Should get. Apart from that, I don't think we should discuss. Mm. I mean, what's there to discuss in Bundesliga apart from FC Köln defeating Borussia Dortmund?
Ah, yes. And Haaland was injured for the match, I guess.
No, he played. But he played the full game.
Oh, okay.
But he didn't look fit for me. Like, he did not. But yeah, it was a good game. Dortmund dominated the full game, but it is like what Mourinho told, you can take the ball at your home and I'll take the 3 points. good matches happened apart from that. Wolfsburg versus Werder Bremen, another where Bremen took lead, Werder Bremen took lead, then Wolfsburg equalized, then Wolfsburg took lead, then this happened full game, 5-3.
All, you know, you always love a high scoring game. You never know what you know, who's going to win at the end.
Yeah, exactly. And it's nice to see. So from that, let's park the bus from Bundesliga to our very own Premier League. In Premier League, let's start with Chelsea versus Spurs. What did you make of that game?
Yeah, I mean, both of us, I think it was very, very clear that both the managers walked in with the mentality of not losing the game.
It was more of not losing than winning.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel, personally for me, I feel Chelsea were slightly the better team in that match at least, because we dominated the ball, obviously, because it was Mourinho's team. But I like the fact that Kane and Son were not able to do their magic in their... Meaning, they were able to make a couple of key passes. But I was very happy that, you know, we kept them in check, because both of them are really, really world-class. And I was really happy with it. And I think both the teams received chances at the 90 plus extra time. And both of us didn't take it.
Correct. And it was like in the last chances were like very, very, very important. Like if had Chelsea or Spurs taken that their chances, then it was a 50-50 game for me, because this is what we expected Spurs to play for. I would like to mention Tammy Abraham here. I was like, I'm very happy with Lampard that he played.
Yeah, if Giroud would have played, I feel that we could have scored one or two the first half.
Yeah, Giroud was quite good. Apart from that, for 30-35 minutes, yes, we were better. But then when you came back after the, half-time, your team dominated the full game and we were not able to put the ball behind your
hands. And you had some 0.0 XG in the second half or something like that, I don't know.
Second half, Chelsea fully dominated, but for first 30 minutes, we were. So that's why I'm saying it was a 50-50.
I totally get it.
Kind of boring. If I was a neutral match, I would have said it's a boring match.
Yeah, I mean, that is obvious, okay. Any 0-0 match is obviously a boring match. And I actually did not expect a 0-0. I was expecting at least 2-2, 1-1 with the way they're playing. Or I think I was expecting even Tottenham to even win the match. But I never expected a 0-0 draw.
No, Mourinho, I guess Mourinho, that was exactly what Mourinho planned and Lampard planned. Like, don't lose the game. If we can't win the game, then don't lose the game. I guess it was something that was made clear.
Yeah, exactly.
Apart from that, United came back against Southampton.
Yeah, in the extra time.
What a game.
And, you know, El Matador has shown, you know, has come back in the Premier League to shoot 2 more goals in the match.
And it was something like, I would like to mention, special mention, Edison Cavani, like obviously we have to mention him because he was the one who won the game, but Edison Cavani and Thiago Silva, these two were being called PSG rejects.
Exactly. And also they were old and...
And then they showed that the class is permanent and form is temporary.
Exactly. And, you know, the experience which they offer on the field is actually really unreal, because they can do things which a lot of people do not know that even they can do. Because they've seen so much of matches, they've seen so much of players, they've seen so much of scenarios, even, you know, talking about even internationally and club-wise.
I would also like to special mention Bruno Fernandes.
Yes.
Class is just one word for him. Like, he is growing with Manu. And, like, okay, we can say weak on Manu are not consistent. But
Bruno I hate to say this so much. But Bruno Fernandes is really world class right now at this moment.
Yeah. He is.
So, I hate to say it, but I have
apart
to accept
from
it.
That, Arsenal against Wolves. It was quite a spicy game. We all wish Raul Jimenez a very speedy recovery,
Yes,
first of all.
totally.
That was not a human
Yes,
thing
and
for me.
getting injured in the skull in a football match is not really normal, actually.
Yeah.
And
I was actually very scared, like, what is going to happen to them? But, okay, thank God he's not
exactly,
that.
exactly.
We should all thank God. And apart from that, what do you make out of Arsenal? Mikel Arteta's Arsenal. Because you are the one who's always praising Mikel Arteta. And this weekend they might win against Spurs.
See.
But that does not change
See,
the fact
if
that
this weekend, if Arsenal wins
had...
against Spurs, I would actually praise Willian, because they have Willian right now, and Willian loves to score against Tottenham. So, but see, I don't know why I have a soft spot for Arteta. I feel.
But this is their first start in
yeah,
years.
I agree. I
people
agree.
Are
But
saying,
all I'm saying is.
Emery, he won't.
All I'm saying is the players aren't performing like they should, actually. Like, you know, even in Unai Emery's time, Aubameyang was the only one who was scoring goals. So it was not like, you know, the striker was out of form. But here, I cannot see Aubameyang at all. He's not been shooting any goals except that one penalty since his signing of his new contract. So... I don't know why I feel that I have a soft spot for Mikel Arteta for some reason, even though he's not doing really great right now. But
and the thing with him is, okay, he has made an Arsenal into great defensive force, but that great defensive force is not working at the moment. Like, I'm pretty sure against Spurs, this defensive force will be more, bright and all, because you are playing a derby, and in a derby,
and I think
you
fans
have to
are
be
allowed,
like
if I'm not wrong.
Yeah. 4,000.
Yeah.
Now, this is a whole together next different discussion.
Yes.
Like, I'm totally against it.
Oh, yeah, okay. Let's, I think.
I'm totally against fans being allowed in the stadium. Like, what do you want them to do? Like, do you want to kill them? Like, yesterday I saw Arsenal's match. People are wearing masks and all, and they're sitting so far behind. Like, you can't even see half the fans. And it looks more like empty stadium. Like, when the covers used to be there, it was better for me. And people are making... I'm not sure, like, Britain has approved the medicine. Like, it's going quite off topic, but Britain has approved the Pfizer medicine. But people are making trolls that what will they do, and this and that, and this is not proper and all. I'm not sure, like, whether this medicine will work or not.
I get it. I understand. But, see, I feel fans coming back to the stadium, even though, you know, it's very, very, very low, at least, you know, I heard that the fan system is not like exactly a lottery, but, you know, like, if you come for the first match, second match, it's a doubt that you'll get it, like that. So that they'll give opportunities to a lot of fans. And, you know, Pfizer has already started their, I think, phase one slowly in UK. And they're testing out a lot of things. So all I'm saying is, I feel that something, at least, you know, the fans at least getting to watch their players play. Like, Arsenal fans...
All I want to ask is just one question. And this question goes to everyone who approve fans coming to the stadium. What if one guy or one lady, one, I'm not saying 10, 15, catches coronavirus, and because of him, someone dies? All this because you just went to watch a football match. Okay, you can say it's more than a football match.
No. I'm not going to do that here. But I feel, you know, the... Like, you only in India, if you take a test, it takes more than 48 hours for it to get the result. But in Britain, I hear before 1 hour of the match, you get your results. If you take it
you know, 2 hours before the match. So it's only 1 hour before the match, you have to take a coronavirus test. And it's really, really normal for people to take tests there. So I think, see, all I'm saying is the precautions will be done. And the Pfizer phase...
You know, this weekend, Newcastle versus this game is cancelled.
Yes, yes, Villa. It is.
Why it is cancelled? Because of 9 players getting corona. Now, if you can't protect your sports players, how will you protect 4,000 fans? And this is something that spreads.
Yes, I agree. See, the thing is... I understand because you make a very, very, very valid point. But I do not know if I actually agree with it. I feel fans coming to the stadium is actually a good thing. But I understand the place where you're coming from of saying it is dangerous, and Newcastle getting all 9 players COVID-19 tested positive is actually really, really scary. But I feel with the right precautions, because Russia has started, Spain has started.
No, I get what you're trying to say, but my question is same. Like, if players are like, I don't know if you saw All or Nothing Tottenham, but in that, when coronavirus hits, after that, before every match, they used to have a test. And if players are not safe, how can you say that this fans will be safe?
I mean, the fans, I think, are coming to the stadium at their own risk. So,
yeah, exactly. So, it's like you can allow, like, right at the at this point of time, if I allow 5,000 people to gather, 4,000 will gather because they are so frustrated at their homes.
Agreed.
And out of 4,000, if 2 people also die, then it's a life, man. Like, it's more than everything.
Agreed. I don't know, but like, I think the first match has to happen, and then I will probably make my point here. I think this is a topic we need.
No, I guess this incoming of fans will only stop in the case when we're like. I remember 2 weeks before Boris Johnson put the lockdown in London. And 2 weeks later, they're like, oh, we should allow fans in the stadium. So, until something big happens, I don't think so. They will stop allowing fans. And slowly it will increase. And I'm just very scared that once it increases, what if one game gets...
I agree. I get it.
So, yeah, let's now park the bus to our UCL. UCL, but UCL. Shakhtar Donetsk defeated.
I saw the match live. The reason I saw the match live was, I think, because Real Madrid, you know, played, you know, I didn't know, like you told, I didn't know how they played in the La Liga, okay? So I really was very interested because Real Madrid are Mr. Champions Leagues, because they have reached, except last year or the previous year before it, they've reached six continuous finals with Cristiano Ronaldo in it, obviously. Six continuous semifinals.
Yes.
So I was really curious on how they play in the Champions League, and I thought, okay, let me watch a match where, you know, Real Madrid comfortably wins. But my God, Champions League, bloody hell. Like Alex Ferguson said, it is really, really miraculous what happened, because I totally was shocked when Shakhtar Donetsk got the first goal. But I was sure, you know, Ramos did not play there. But I was pretty sure that Real Madrid are going to come back, hit 3-4 goals easily. And then second goal came, I was very, very a bit skeptical, you know. Is this actually going to be a comeback? And then the final whistle blew. When I forgot about the time, and then suddenly the final whistle blew, I was like, what? This Shakhtar Donetsk beat Real Madrid. And my God, I was really, really surprised.
Twice.
They did a double over Real Madrid. Real Madrid in the Champions League. So.
Yes, you have to complete the sentence. Real Madrid in the
Champions League.
For me, first half Madrid looked really good, but again Zidane made wrong substitutions at the wrong time, so that was something that affected the game a lot. I mean, you can say, oh, but what else he could have done, this, that, but it is a manager's responsibility. Like, you have world class 11 players and sitting world class bench. I mean, Real Madrid's bench on their day can beat Shakhtar.
Exactly, exactly.
And if you can't win with that also, then I think you have to reconsider what your tactics. Apart from that, Inter Milan came back against Gladbach, making this group the best group of all, like the most interesting group. Like, I never expected this group to be... I knew Gladbach and I knew Inter Milan, both are very good teams. I expected them to fight for the third, second spot. But now at this point of time, Real Madrid can either go to...
Yeah, Europa, and we can see the mask derby, Cruz versus Aubameyang, which is possible. But I hear according to the points, next week, whoever wins in the group are in.
So I'm pretty sure Real Madrid will defeat Gladbach and Inter Milan will defeat Shakhtar. But what if we see one upset? Even if Gladbach draws against Real Madrid's business is done. Even same with Shakhtar. They have to just draw.
Look at how the state of, you know, that group has become.
Correct, correct. And it's not shocking for me. Like, not shocking meaning it is shocking, but it's not something that, this was never expected. Like, three good teams were there in this group and a lot was expected from those three teams. Let's see what happens next.
Yeah, I mean, I think if people go back and listen to our Champions League predictions, you know, who will qualify. This group, we didn't even talk about much because we were like, yeah, okay. Who's going to come first? Real Madrid or Inter Milan? So, the other team is second place and Gladbach is obviously third. Like, it was really, really easy for us to make the prediction. But, you know, Champions League had other plans of doing stuff to us. Because
apart from that, Atletico versus Bayern. Now, this was not the Atletico versus Bayern which I expected.
Same.
In this game, Atletico had more shots, more ball. Like, okay, equal ball, but when Atletico had ball, it looked like they had.
Yeah, but I think Bayern here did not play their main team until 60 minutes because Serge Gnabry, Thomas Muller, both of them were on bench. There was no Benjamin Pavard, Douglas no Kingsley Coman, no Jerome Boateng. So, obviously, why did I miss it? No Lewandowski. And they played Choupo-Moting.
Eric Choupo-Moting and Douglas Costa.
Yeah, so...
They kind of played their
game. Yeah, and this. I mean, see, basically, if you're qualified, I don't think they really care about, you know, winning or losing because it's just the first place or second place. And I don't think, I mean, every team would be, you know, scared of facing Bayern Munich. So they don't really care whether they come first or second, I think.
They will come first.
Yeah, so, and classic Atletico Madrid, I after the 22nd goal, Atletico did not, you know, show clinical scoring, you know, nature in the match. Actually, they sat back a little, like they always do, and the penalty got, you know, Bayern Munich shared points. But, you know, it just happened. These groups, you know, qualified groups sound, you know, like, okay, they're qualified, so why are you even playing like that? It's become.
And Liverpool against Ajax, another good game, but Ajax's 17 game unbeaten run comes to an end. Away unbeaten, I should say. Not home, away. They were unbeaten in their last 17 away games, imagine.
See, again.
And it took Anfield to, like.
I think winning in Anfield is not for everyone. But I think Atlanta can talk bravely because 2-0. So, yeah. I mean, Ajax, like, I think it'll be another 1 or 2 years before we see someone in Ajax, you know, blasting through, and then eventually everyone in the world trying for them. Because I think Ajax has now again gone back to the stage they were in about 3-4 years ago, without Hakim Ziyech, without Van de Beek, without De Jong, without De Ligt, without those players. I think Ajax only have probably Tadic, maybe. And, you know, they are good players. I'm not saying they are bad players. But, you know, the quality of the players obviously has been, you know, depreciated. And the manager is actually a really good manager. As you, like, the away win record itself is clearly proving it, that, you know, Tag is a really good manager. But, you know, I mean, I think even in that group, Liverpool qualified, obviously. And
and even they'll qualify.
So,
I mean, it's very neck to neck for Atlanta and Ajax at this point of time. But I guess they have one more.
Yeah,
game
and whoever wins the game,
and they have to
like
face
if Ajax loses or draws, they are. I think they have to only hope that. I mean, if Ajax draws the match, then I think they have to hope for Atlanta to lose. And then some.
I mean, they have to play each other, so they have to. They'll have a stage to figure it out.
Yeah, exactly. Oh wait, so Atlanta versus Ajax is the next match. Oh,
yeah.
Then why am I even telling about these stats here? So then I think that will be decided then.
Then PSG defeated United 3-1. Neymar's
I have to agree there, I guess, because Neymar did play very, really well. I really, really, really wanted Manu for to win, because I do not like PSG personally. But I think Neymar couldn't, you know, Neymar was too much for Manu to handle. And the build up to the second goal, which not second goal, third goal. I'm sorry, the third goal which PSG shot. Was so beautiful. Mm-hmm. So beautiful. The passes, the crossing, everything was so clean. And, you know, Manu just stood and watched.
They say money can't buy you this, money can't buy you that, but money can buy you beautiful football. It has bought. Apart from that, Chelsea defeated Sevilla 4-0 and Barcelona.
Yeah,
also.
I mean,
one word for zero.
I think underrated is the perfect word, I think.
I rate Giroud very, very highly. And I think he should be the second striker rather than Tammy Abraham if Werner is to play out through the centre.
Yes, and I also feel that, you know, Giroud is massively, massively underrated, because, like, no one even talks about him like they actually should. Like, if anyone walks up to me and asks, you know, why does France only play Giroud? Why do they not play Martial? You just show them the Sevilla match. That is why. Because I understand.
You are saying him underrated because you watch him closely. As like, I don't follow Chelsea like day in day out.
Yeah, I get it.
To follow their matches and all, but not day in, day out. I don't know what is actually going on inside.
Yeah.
So, what I see is Lampard's reject.
I feel a little more different though. I feel that, even though this is wrong to say, I feel Giroud is a perfect, perfect gentleman. And that has been so told by Lampard numerous amount of times. And I feel that has been taken for granted, you know. Tammy is a striker who is literally very hungry for matches because he's really young. He wants to start for the England squad.
Yeah.
This, that. But Giroud is a striker who knows, you know, he doesn't have to play 4 weeks in a row for Deschamps to come and tell you are a striker, because he knows that Deschamps will always pick Giroud as a striker.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel that has been taken for granted, and I feel Giroud is a beautiful sub. And even during the Ren game, he came in, he headed a beautiful goal inside. And see, that is what I'm talking about. I understand he's a great sub, but there are matches where if you feel that Tammy Abraham is not taking the chances he's required to take, and I think Giroud is the guy who you should bring in if you feel Werner need not play in the centre.
Yeah. And I want to ask, why is Lampard playing Werner down the like wing?
Yeah, it seems I know Werner was actually a striker, but he actually loves the position, the left-hand side position a little more because he's a player like Mane. He's not like a in-and-out striker exactly, but he can play there. He plays there in you know abundance, but he's a Mane kind of player. He can play in the left-hand side and still provide masterclass. I think Timo Werner has not been himself for the last 2-3 games. And I think he will eventually come back and we will see Timo Werner on striking in few days, I think.
Yes. Let's hope for Timo Werner's best. I mean, yes, I want to see Timo Werner playing down the middle.
Yes.
But I guess Lampard knows better.
Yes, exactly.
So, from this, let's move to our last section. That is predictions.
Yes.
So, there are a lot of good matches this weekend. One of them being Sevilla against Real Madrid.
I feel Real Madrid are going away with the victory. But, I'm going for a Sevilla victory, actually. Let me actually twist it a little. I'll tell you why here. Because Sevilla rested players. Sevilla did not play their normal French 3 in the Champions League.
Yes.
Real Madrid played their real team there.
Yes.
So I feel the players would be slightly tired, is all I'm saying. So I feel Sevilla is winning the match with, I don't know, I'll go for probably Luke De Jong to score 2 goals, I guess.
Okay. For me, this game, it means more to Zidane than to Sevilla.
Understood. Yes, understandable.
And that's why I'm going for a 2-0 Real Madrid win with Benzema and Carlos Vinicius. Vinicius Jr.
All right. Makes sense.
From that, let's move to another good game. Not good game. It's a North London derby in Premier League. Tottenham against Arsenal.
So, I know I have a curse in my mouth, and I am going to actually tell that it is going to happen this week. I'm sorry. If it happens, I don't know. I feel Arsenal are winning the match. With Son and Aubameyang back on the score sheet. I think I'll go for Aubameyang 1 and Willian 1. So, yeah, I'm going for Arsenal victory. You?
I'm going for a 1-1.
All right.
Like, Arteta would not want to lose this game, neither does Mourinho. Although on paper, at this moment, on the basis of form and all, it looks like Spurs are heavily weighted.
Obviously.
But it's a derby. And you have to respect a derby. And we all know, like, anything can happen in a derby. Like, even if one team is a League One team, below championship, that league, if they have a derby against a Premier League team, Premier League team has to risk it because it's a match which you can't
afford. Yeah, totally.
And the third and the last match of the weekend which we are going to predict is Liverpool against Wolves.
Oh my God. During the injuries, I really thought that Liverpool, you know, would actually struggle, but they walked over Leicester. Walked over. So, I feel I'm going for a Liverpool victory. I'm going for 3-1 Liverpool. Without Raul Jimenez, I think Wolves will have it tough. I'm going for 3-1 Liverpool with, I think, Salah, Mane, and I think Salah, Mane on the score sheet. Wolves, I think, 1 goal. I think Potence, maybe.
Okay, I'm going for a 2-0 victory for Liverpool. Now with
Oh my God, why did I miss? Okay, go ahead.
And Salah to
All
score.
right.
I don't think Wolves' attack will be that
I get it.
sharp to
I
break
get
down
it.
this Liverpool. So I guess that is it for today, guys. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank
you, Shivcharan.
Thank you for having me.
So peace out
Bye.
And bye.